Hello, and welcome to episode 69 of SMARTS, which, as we all know, stands for...
Sports Meet Athlete Refugees True Spirit.
Yes.
That was another one from your mom.
Very good.
Very nice.
With an Olympic flavor.
Yes, exactly.
You're feeling very Olympic today.
Yes, I am. Sports, as John Oliver would say. Anybody who knows John Oliver knows that he's a fan of sports. Not that I know him personally, I'm just saying. Anybody who's listened to the Bugle
before. Your close
before.
Personal friend.
Oh yeah, my old buddy. I'm going to call Johnny O up in just a sec. Hey, Johnny O, how you doing? Sports!
So, I am Rudiger Q Podcaster.
Yay! And I am Julia Guglia of internet fame. Well.
Good job.
Thank you. Thank you for introducing us.
Should we move into news?
Yeah, news.
All right. So this week there was a new trailer for Star Wars Rogue One, or Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, I guess is we're supposed to call it.
Okay.
So what did you think of this new trailer?
I liked it a lot better than the first one. It seemed to tell a little bit more of a story, maybe.
Well, the first one was just a teaser, I think. So it was probably
well,
intended to tell zero of the story, whereas this one was intended to give you a bit more.
Yeah. I liked it better because there seemed to be more in it, and also you got to see a little bit of more... Well, duh. But you got to see a little more about the characters that are going to be headlining this story.
Yeah, they introduced each of the different characters.
Yeah, exactly. I liked that part. And
we got to see Alan Tudyk's motion capture droid character.
Mm-hmm.
We got to see a little hint of Darth Vader at the end. That's the big question going into this, of course, is how big of a role Darth Vader will play. Will it just be in one scene to scare everybody, or will he, you know, be like one of the main antagonists throughout the movie? We know that James Earl Jones is voicing him again.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, we don't know who's in the suit since it's not, obviously not David Prowse anymore. But, yeah, and there was a lot of interesting stuff in this one, a lot of really striking visuals.
Mm-hmm.
So this comes out in December.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm looking forward to it.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to it. I forgot, but all of the actors were very good. The scenes that they picked for this trailer were incredibly tight. Like, I'm looking forward to the characters.
Well, it's Forrest Whitaker, Donnie Yen.
Yeah.
Who else is in there?
Forrest Whitaker can read the encyclopedia. Seriously. And I would go pay money to see that. He's awesome. All right. Anyway. Yeah. So that's news item numero uno.
Are you going to count them off this time?
No, I'm just excited about that one.
Okay. So in TV news, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is adding a new character. Not a regular, but... presumably a recurring character kind of on the order of maybe Edward James Olmos' character last season, someone like that comes in for an arc.
And then gets shot in the end? Oh, spoilers for last season.
Well, he didn't get shot. He got...
Yeah, that's right. He got gassed with
he got terrigenized.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure I'm pronouncing this correctly.
By Sierra.
Correctly, but I'm going to take a shot at. So Paraminder or Paraminder? How would you pronounce that? The Indian name.
Oh, Paraminder, yeah.
Paramunder, that's
well,
it.
Well, I didn't know if it was a U or an I.
Paraminder Nagra, who I know from...
Paraminder.
From ER.
Paraminder, it's... There's
you can
no
stop
a
saying Paraminder.
Sorry, but you it's not Paraminder.
No, I didn't... If I said that, it was just because of the way I was... I didn't... I don't
Paraminder.
Think I... I know it's only... I know it's... I know the correct number of syllables.
All right, anyway, ER.
So she... I know her from ER. She was on there for several years.
And
she,
Bend It Like Beckham.
Bend It Like Beckham was what put her on the map. She's going to be joining the show as a politician with a anti-inhuman agenda.
Huh. Scary. Cool. She plays an antagonist, a bad guy, essentially. Ooh. We'll
I don't know what she's been doing since ER ended. I haven't seen her in anything, but I guess she's been,
bumping
I have around.
No idea.
I don't know. That was 10 years ago, so hopefully she's been on something.
Hmm.
And then the last bit of regular news this week before we get to the main flurry of news... so this came out of absolutely nowhere. So in the vein of the CW Seed's Vixen animated series, they announced that CW Seed is going to be doing a second DC Comics based animated series.
Cool.
What is not known is whether this is in the Flash, Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow
universe.
TV universe, or whether it's completely its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
But they're doing an animated series. Based on, of all characters, the Freedom Fighter character, the Ray. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Ray.
No.
Uncle Sam and the Freedom Fighters was a team of Golden Age. They're based on... So, Quality Comics was one of the publishers that was sort of subsumed by DC after World War II, and they had characters like Uncle Sam, who is sort of a superhero version of the Uncle Sam, you know, propaganda poster character. The Ray, Phantom Lady, Doll Man, I almost said Human Torch, Human Bomb, Black Condor, Plastic Man was a Quality Comics character too, although he was sort of separate from them. So when DC acquired all these characters, they bundled them together into a team called the Freedom Fighters, and they put them on Earth X, where they were fighting a version of World War II that never ended. Basically, what if the Nazis were continually winning World War II, and these guys were like the resistance fighters that were fighting back? And there have been different versions of the Ray since then. Grant Morrison, in his Multiversity series, whatever you want to call it, anthology series, a year or two ago, introduced a new version of the Freedom Fighters where each of them represented a different minority that was persecuted by the Nazis.
Oh, wow.
So Black Condor was actually black for the first time, and the Ray was gay. And this is the version, the Grant Morrison version, that the CW seed is adapting. So this is going to be the first homosexual lead character of this CW superhero universe. And it's being titled, the announcement made it sound like the title is going to be, you know, Freedom Fighters colon The Ray, which makes it sound like they might be planning to do more. Like instead of doing multiple seasons about The Ray, they might do six episodes about The Ray and six episodes about Human Bomb or whatever. So I don't know if these are, it's introducing a whole new team of superpowered heroes. Sounds like a big deal if it does take place in the same shared universe. That's basically doubling the number of superpowered heroes in this universe if all they introduce all these characters. So it might be its own thing. It might be in there. We don't know. There was a little bit of promotional art. It just looks like what the Ray would look like if he was drawn in the Phil Barassa, you know, Vixen style. And there's no casting or release date or anything yet, but it's that's the thing that they're going to be doing.
Cool.
So it came out of nowhere. I had no idea that they were
thinking about that.
And they're going with the modern Grant Morrison version too, to maybe for diversity reasons or because it's more interesting. I don't know. Maybe it'll take place on it. Maybe what they'll do is they'll have it take place on a different Earth, since obviously that's a concept we're familiar with it now, and go with the whole Nazis are winning, these guys are the resistance fighters idea, instead of trying to shoehorn them into the Earth One version, where it would really seem like it would
be
have a big
place.
Effect on the balance of power there, with now there's 20 new superheroes there, and so, you know, what chance does Reverse Flash or whatever really have against all these, you know? So these are things they have to take into account now in a shared universe. So that's cool. I think that's came out of nowhere, but, you know, the Vixen thing
is
was
it going
to
be like Vixen this the last time, where you get 6-minute episodes, about 10 of them, and then, you know,
imagine the rollout will be probably pretty similar, where it adds up to essentially like a feature-length episode,
but
it comes out in chunks.
But we don't know if it'll be one giant continuous story. It might be segregated.
I imagine it'll be like Vixen, where it adds up to be essentially like one long story, but you get it in chunks.
That's
what most of these web series do. Like like all the Battlestar Galactica web series we watched were just short chunks that add up to one episode length, basically. So then the main thing this week was the TCA, is the Television Critics Association gala, or as they prefer to call it on the TV
gala?
Talk machine. No, a gala.
A gala.
You can say it either way. As they prefer to call it on the TV Talk Machine podcast, the Death March with Cocktails, which is like a 3-week-long ordeal where, can you imagine being embedded in a hotel as a reporter for 3 weeks, where you just have to go to panels and write things down and then go to functions and mixers and stuff all night, and then get up again the next day and just do that for three weeks, not going home.
And then don't forget, like, every single day you actually have to write articles or at least, you know, depending on when your deadline is.
Yeah, depending
up, you
on
have to
your
write
seniority,
the
but yeah, a lot of them do. So there's a lot of stuff coming out of this about all the CW shows that we watch. So I'll just run through it now. So these are things that were actually coming from the producers and writers and actors on these panels. So this isn't just – so this is official information being officially released by people that work on the shows. These aren't leaks or rumors or whatever. So some of this – do you mind if some of these are maybe slightly spoilery about characters that are going to be showing up, given that this is information that the creators released to the press months before the show's
premiere? If it's out there in the public domain, then I'm not worried.
I think this is all stuff that you'll see in, like, the first episode of each of the new seasons.
Yeah.
You know, this is not deep information.
That's totally fine.
So they touched on Constantine. They said that there's currently no plans to have him appear on any of the other shows, but they're definitely having discussions you know, within the network about how best to deploy him in the future. Mm-hmm. And they said that, you know, it does seem like a natural fit to maybe, you know, a year or two down the line, have him show up on Legends of Tomorrow, if nowhere else, because that seems like the best suited place for him. So this is encouraging because it means that they haven't completely
forgotten,
abandoned the idea, and that it means that there's no weird agreement in place with DC that they only got to use him once or something
right,
like that.
Exactly.
Which they wouldn't
be
saying.
That would be such a loss.
They wouldn't be saying
there's
these things
so much
if that
story
were the case.
There. It just may not. Yeah.
Yeah. On the Supergirl front, there's probably the most news. So right up front, they revealed who is in the pod from the season finale, the rocket ship. And it is who, it's basically the person that I thought it was going to be. So you recall we talked about the different possibilities after that episode.
Yeah.
I said it could be some version of Superboy, like maybe, you know, I don't know, from the past or some Cadmus experiment that they put in a rocket. But to me, it said like the most likely candidate is the Mon-El character, mm-hmm. who thought he was Kryptonian, turned out to be from a different planet, basically has all of Superman's powers, arrived with amnesia, mm-hmm. turned out to be a good guy, later on joined the Legion of Superheroes, et cetera, et cetera. And that's who it's going to be. It's Mon-El.
Oh, that's awesome.
So the actor that's playing him is Chris Wood. We knew that he was playing the guy. I hadn't mentioned it on the show, basically, because I don't know who this guy is, and so it didn't really seem like an interesting thing to talk about. But they said that they had announced previously that Chris Wood is going to be playing a new major character, and he's going to be the guy that was in the pod. We just didn't know what character that was.
Dude.
And he looks like, you know, a 20-something white guy, so it could be anybody. It could
right.
be, you know, Connor Kent. It could be Mon-El. It could be
right. They could age him up,
Superboy from the
whatever.
Past. It could be whatever.
Lot, yeah.
But they've announced that it's going to be Mon-El. So if they keep it intact, this means that, you know, we now have another alien from another planet, basically with Superman or Supergirl level powers,
mm-hmm.
Who's a good guy who can be helping out. But then if they go with the whole amnesia storyline or him erroneously thinking he's from Krypton,
right.
maybe this is why they bring Superman in to the mm-hmm. show, right? If Mon-El shows up and the Supergirl thinks she's found another survivor of Krypton,
then
that
she would
be a reason
to
have
family.
Superman show up,
yeah.
you know? So yeah, the Mon-El storyline is one of the most fondly remembered Superboy stories from way back when. It's been retold and modernized a bunch of different times. So I think that he's
cool.
good character
I've
to bring
never,
there.
I've
and
never
if they
seen
decide
Mon-El.
To use that as a gateway to introduce the Legion stuff.
Uh-huh.
And we know that Superman has a Legion ring in the Fortress. We saw that in that Supergirl episode
yeah.
where he went to the Fortress.
Yeah.
So we know that he has a history of being a member of the Legion. So if they decide to really
we
dive
also
into
saw
the Legion
it on the Legend
stuff,
of Tomorrow, too. You remember then the flashback when we saw Caitlin Snow's image?
No,
That was in
Flash, when Flash
oh,
was running through to the
right.
To Earth 2.
Yes, yes, yes.
Where we saw a glimpse of Supergirl, a glimpse of future Green Arrow, and a glimpse of the Legion flight ring. And,
yep, and a glimpse
and Gorilla
of Caitlin
Grodd.
Snow as
Killer Frost.
Killer Frost, yeah.
They also revealed that another character is going to be showing up this season on Supergirl that should make you happy is Miss Martian.
Yay!
Who you really liked in Young Justice.
Yay!
Now,
is she going to be green all the time? Or
I think it'll
gonna
be similar to what they do with Jean, where he's green sometimes. And
yeah.
Now, I'm curious if you know this actress, because Grimm is a show that you like, right?
Yes.
So the actress is someone named Sharon Leal, who apparently played a character called Zuri Ellis. On Grimm?
Zuri Ellis? No, I don't remember that.
Okay, well, apparently she was on Grimm, and that was the name of the character she played, so I don't know what else to tell you. She's African-American, so I guess they're going with the whole, like, she comes to Earth and she decides to fit in as Jean's
mm-hmm. niece
or mm-hmm. younger sister or whatever she decides. Traditionally, it's niece, but they could do whatever. You know, she would choose
right.
to look like she could be related to him, so they mm-hmm. cast an African-American actress. That makes sense. So she's a really fun character. If they keep her similar to... Now you're not even listening to me. You're just trying to think of who this character
yeah.
is, right? Don't worry about it.
I love Grimm, but I can't remember the character named Zuri, and I watched all the seasons. I'm like all caught up.
Okay, well, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. All right.
So after Kevin Smith's episode of The Flash last season, which was the... what was it? They had not the good dinosaur. What was the name? The one where he's trapped in the Speed Force and has that heartbreaking talk with
yes.
his mother at the end about the storybook with the dinosaur. I keep wanting to say the good dinosaur or dinosaurs on a spaceship, but those are a Pixar movie and a Doctor Who episode respectively and not the name of the... Anyway, that was probably the best received critically
so nice.
Episode of last season, and all the actors said that he was like their favorite director that they've ever worked with. So we knew that he was coming back to do at least one more episode on The Flash,
awesome.
But now we also know that, and he's like also a huge fan of Supergirl,
uh-huh.
and he got so tapped to direct an episode of Supergirl
Yay.
Also. What's especially nice, and what actually apparently made him tear up a little bit when he found this out, is that the title of the Supergirl episode they're giving him to direct is called Supergirl Lives, which is a nod to Superman Lives, which was going to be the title of the Superman movie that he was going to make for Warner Brothers.
Oh, man.
In that whole interregnum period between when the Christopher Reeve franchise tanked and
right.
way before they did Superman Returns.
Right.
There was all sorts of aborted attempts to do a Tim Burton was going to do one with Nicolas
right.
Cage.
Yeah.
And then there was Kevin Smith was going to do one called Superman Lives. And so his episode of Supergirl is going to be called Supergirl Lives. And they did
That's
that as sort
awesome.
Of a nod to him.
That's so cool.
And then the last bit of Supergirl news, which also ties into The Flash, is that in addition to the big four-night crossover event that they already said they're doing between all four shows, there's going to be a second Supergirl-Flash, just the two of them,
crossover
event.
Yay.
But what makes this one different is it's going to be a musical.
Uh-huh.
So since both Melissa Benoist and Grant Gustin
oh
can sing, and they came from Glee, this we're going to get an episode of Supergirl and an episode of Flash, which are musical episodes.
Oh my God, that's so crazy.
I don't know who else in those casts can sing, but with the actors, it's usually a fair bet that at least half of them have some singing experience,
because
it seems like part of their performing repertoire is
right.
usually a lot of crossover. I can see David Harewood, who plays Hank Henshaw. I can see him having a sing. You can kind of tell something.
Yeah.
I can see him having a singing
mm-hmm.
voice. I don't know who on The Flash. Actually, I know that a lot of people, we know Jesse Martin on The Flash is an excellent singer. Do you remember in The Flash episode where they went to Earth 2? That's why they made him a lounge singer or bar
yes.
singer, because he has
yep.
an excellent. So actually, I think pretty much everybody in The Flash cast is, Tom Cavanaugh, I think, can sing too. I think
yeah.
The Flash cast is pretty much all singers.
So,
it's going to be a fun, going to be a fun couple of nights.
Whoa.
And then obviously the leads are great. I don't know what they
so
could do
cool.
if they're going to do like Batman Brave and the Bold and just have the Music Meister show up. Which is
yeah,
would be even better is if they had Neil Patrick Harris who voiced the Music Meister on the Batman Brave and the Bold cartoon show up and play him on these shows too. But
oh
now
God.
I'm just fan casting. So that's all the Supergirl news. That's
so
some
exciting
stuff in there.
Yeah.
Moving on to The Flash, they confirmed kind of what we thought after the last Gorilla Grodd on the last episode is they're going to do a full on Gorilla City episode this year.
Whoa.
I guess he goes back to Earth 2 and he finds that Grodd has got a whole city.
On a
city
TV budget, they're going to be able to do that?
Yes,
holy
I don't know.
Holy moly. That's
going to
be so exciting. Oh my gosh, the effects on that.
They also announced
wow.
that the character, so we knew that this season in Flash, they've said in interviews, there's not just going to be one big bad, there's going to be at least two main villains, one
mm-hmm.
of whom is a speedster and the other isn't. The trailer strongly hinted that the Dr. Alchemy villain character is going to be the non-speedster character. And we saw a brief glimpse of a weird-looking speedster in the trailer, but nobody knew who it was going to be. And we talked before about if they were going to do another speedster, really the only evil speedster left is a character named Savitar, and that's who it is. They said they're going to be doing Savitar. It's going to be the speed-based villain this year. I don't know a lot about him. The thing that made him different, I don't know much about his origin. The thing that made him different than a lot of the other speedster villains is he set himself up as kind of like a cult leader. Like he founded his own weirdo cult religion based around the Speed Force and had all these acolytes that were willing to kill for him and die for him.
Whoa.
He was like
an
evil speedster cult leader, basically.
Wow. And he was the only speedster there, obviously?
Yeah, the others. I think he could do a thing where he could, like, through some blood ceremony, he could give his followers speed temporarily or something. I might be wrong about that.
That sounds like a Vandal Savage type
The only story with him I ever read was the Mark Waid story. I think it was called Dead Heat, which was the one where he actually, where he was killed. But I didn't read too many stories where he was actually, you know, a going threat.
Hmm.
And then he brought him back later temporarily, but... and then the last bit of Flash news is that they finally cast someone to play Mirror Master. So we're getting Mirror Master this season too.
Whoa.
So it's an actor with an awesome name that I wasn't familiar with yet. The guy's name is Gray Damon, which is a pretty,
that's awesome.
Pretty badass name.
Wow.
He's been on some stuff. I don't know him. Apparently he was on the last season of Friday Night Lights and he's been in a few other TV shows. He's not super young, like he's not Grant Gustin's age. It looks like he's maybe in his 30s.
Yep.
So maybe more like Wentworth Miller, Dominic Purcell
mm-hmm.
age. We're going to see what they do with him. I think they're going with the original Mirror Master, which is a little bit too bad because I really like the super Scottish version that Grant Morrison introduced in Animal Man.
Awesome.
But they're going with the original Sam Scudder, more sort of goonish Mirror Master and not the weird con man Scottish rogue that Grant Morrison introduced later. Only one little bit of Arrow news. This came out of nowhere. So they've announced that, of all people, Dolph Lundgren,
oh my
action movie icon Dolph Lundgren, aka Ivan Drago and The Punisher and a million other things,
wow.
is going to be playing a recurring villain on Arrow. He's going to be a main villain in the flashback sequences this year, because we know that they're taking Oliver to Russia and exploring the origins of his
Russian ties
to the Russian mob and the Bratva and all that. So Dolph Lundgren is going to be a villain in that, in those sequences.
And this is going to be the fifth season, right?
Yes.
So this is the
presumably the last year of the flashbacks. Stephen Amell said what he would love to do is he'd love to pull a Lost and have them become flash forwards. So now the present sequences are setting stuff up for the flash forward sequences. That was just his pie in the sky. Like, it'd be cool if we did. I don't know what the logistics of that would be.
You'd have to be very careful with the writing of that.
Yeah.
Because it could easily be tacky.
I feel like they're kind of, I mean, I don't know if they're doing that or not, but I feel like they maybe sent up a trial balloon this season with the flash forwards to the funeral.
Oh, yes, I know.
And all that.
Mm-hmm.
Like you
a while ago, yeah.
Maybe you dial them back so it's only, they're only a few minutes per week.
Yeah.
And it just gives you little hints of things, and then that builds up over the course of the season. But maybe that would get repetitive. I don't know. Anyway, I'm sure they have ideas.
Did you watch Lost? Because it did
No,
get
I didn't
repetitive.
Watch Lost.
It absolutely did. That was basically the last season of Lost was all flash forwards.
I don't know. We'll see what they do. I think I trust, though, that they're not going to completely ruin the
Decimate
format of
the
show
yeah.
by doing something that doesn't work. I'm sure that they know how the structure of the show needs to remain. Legends of Tomorrow. This was a very bizarre but cool casting announcement. So Obsidian, which they announced is going to be one of the heroes that's going to be in their version of the Justice Society.
Mm-hmm.
Obsidian in the comics was one of the younger generation of heroes, because he was the original Green Lantern, Alan Scott's son.
Cool.
Alan Scott, it was revealed, had two children, Obsidian and Jade, who was a woman. Jade had green skin and basically Green Lantern-type powers, but Obsidian had powers where he could control shadows and darkness. And,
oh, cool.
And then he came out as gay, and he was a really interesting character. They have cast sci-fi action icon Lance Henriksen from Aliens, Alien 3, the TV series Millennium. He's a sci-fi icon, basically. He's 75 years old. He's basically never stopped working. He's been in a ton of like horror and action movies and sci-fi movies. A lot of schlock in there, but a lot of iconic stuff too.
Right.
He was Have you seen the second Alien movie? The one that James Cameron did. He was a character there, I think, called Bishop. He was an android, and so he gets cast in like a lot of robot sci-fi roles and bad guy roles. He had a small role in the original Terminator movie. Actually, he was James Cameron's first choice to play the Terminator in Terminator until Schwarzenegger blew up, and it was like, okay, well, I guess we'll see if we can get Schwarzenegger. So it's the road not taken. I wonder what his career would have been if that had happened. But he's been in a ton of stuff, a ton of huge movies in smaller supporting roles, and a bunch of iconic roles in sci-fi movies. So he's like 75 years old, but he's going to be playing Obsidian in this. So I guess in the absence of being able to use Green Lantern characters, maybe they're positioning him as one of the original old guard characters instead of what he was in the comics, which was like a second generation character. But it'll be cool to have him on there.
That's cool.
And then lastly, that is it. That is it for the TCA stuff.
Wow.
So there's a lot of casting news and announcements.
I can't believe you pulled that. He just announced all of it from memory. That's
Well, no, I have point form. I got point form notes.
A little bit.
The only other news,
like two notes.
The only other news thing this week, also, I think, I'm not sure if this also came from the TCA or if it was just a series of announcements and interviews, but I think it was actually a TCA panel, is we now have a lot of new information about the new Star Trek Discovery TV series.
Ooh.
Including the setting, some of the characters,
a lot of other stuff like that. Wondering about all that.
So the way that they're framing this is that it's going to be a Star Trek novel over 13 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So similar to, say, the Netflix series, where it's almost like a 13-hour movie, and it's not episodic Star Trek has traditionally been. That we kind of knew they were probably going to do, because that's the way a lot of TV works these days, especially on-demand streaming stuff.
Absolutely.
It's going to take place in the Prime Universe, which is to say the original Star Trek universe, not the reboot movie Kelvin timeline. That part we pretty much knew already. We now know when it's going to be set. It's going to be set 10 years prior to the original series. So 10 years before Kirk and Spock and all those characters, which they said lets them play with some iconic designs and costumes and alien stuff, but updating it, but still keeping those iconic recognizable elements, as opposed to setting it, say, hundreds of years after Voyager.
Right, yeah,
or
no, you
like
link
that.
It to something familiar.
The main character is going to be female, which we knew they were almost certainly going to do because they're really, Brian Fuller is really pushing for this to be like the most diverse yep. Star Trek show yet. Interestingly, the main character, this female character, who we don't know a name, we don't know an actress yet, is not going to be a captain, but rather the show is going to focus on a character who's only a lieutenant commander because he felt that we've seen the perspective of the captain so many times on these shows. Mm-hmm. It would be interesting to get the perspective of someone who's not the one giving all the orders.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming she's still going to be a member of the bridge crew and not just someone working in engineering or the transporter room or something. But we're going to be seeing the perspective of her on these historic events, but she's not the one. Now, the cast will have a lot of characters in it, and presumably the captain will be a member of the main cast, but he or she, whoever the captain is, won't be the lead.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, so we know that. He also said that, confirming what everybody pretty much assumed, that yes, one of the main characters will be gay mm-hmm. for the first time in a Star Trek series. He said that that's very important to him and to the network and to everybody to carry that baton of Star Trek diversity forward.
Mm-hmm.
And the last little bit of information. Oh, so it details. So, yeah, so 10 years before the original series, apparently it will detail an event which was referred to in the original series, but has never been dramatized before.
Ooh.
So that got all sorts of people speculating about what that might be. There's not a
what
lot
event
of
are they talking
there's not
about?
A lot of important events that happened only 10 years before the original series. No important first meeting with
okay.
no important first meetings with alien races or important military conflicts or anything like that. So mm-hmm. no one's quite sure what it's going to be. And then the last thing that they said is that they obviously being set only 10 years before the original series means that there's the opportunity there to see younger versions of some classic
yeah.
characters,
yeah.
presumably not played by the same people that are playing them in the new movies,
right?
But presumably, if they do see like a teenage Kirk show up, presumably it would be a different actor, because now
yeah.
the people playing them in the movies are probably just as old, if not older, as the people that were playing them in the original, right?
Yep.
I'm not sure what Chris Pine's age is now compared to Shatner's
right.
in 66, but
yeah.
they can't be that far off. So
no.
if this is 10 years before the original series, it would have to be different actors. But he said that at first they're not going to be having any appearances from classic recognizable characters to give the show a chance to establish its own identity, but he's not ruling out appearances by younger versions of classic characters going forward. He said the one character, and this seemed completely random, but one character that's always really interested him is the character of Amanda Grayson, which is Spock's human mother. He'd be interested in seeing a bit more of what she's about and telling stories about her. So maybe she comes on as, I'm not sure what her history is, if she was an ambassador or something, and maybe that's how she met Sarek,
yeah.
Spock's father. I'm not sure how they were supposed to have
I
met.
I think it was the reverse, that he was the ambassador.
Well, Sarek was definitely an ambassador,
woman,
but
yeah.
she might have been too. Maybe he
yeah.
was the Vulcan ambassador
right.
to Earth, and
I mean,
she was the Earth ambassador
together,
to Vulcan.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically where we stand. So now we know a lot more about the setting and the premise and who the main character is going to be, but we're still lacking a lot of those details.
Well, yeah.
But I'm sure we're going to be getting all...
It's like a preview in print.
Getting a lot of that stuff soon because the show debuts in just a few months
mm-hmm.
in January.
Super
so they're going
to
need to start shooting soon. I imagine the casting is already, if not complete, then nearly complete. They just haven't made any announcements yet. This is August, and the show premieres in January, and there's a lot of post-production required
for
a show like
this. When did the original series air? Like, what years?
1966.
66.
And the one for three seasons.
So 66, right now it's 16, so 50 years ago.
This is the 50-year anniversary
yeah,
of Star Trek.
Yeah, so then, so if everybody in the cast is in their 80s, then yeah, they were in their 30s when they were filming, so...
I think some of them might be older than that. Wasn't Nimoy in his 90s when he died?
He was... No,
Nimoy was
81.
Was
I
he 81?
Yeah.
I think he always looked like he was maybe one of the older, aside from DeForest Kelly, who played
bit.
Bones. He was probably the oldest member of the original cast, I
right?
Because
so,
he had already done like 100 westerns.
So they were. I mean, they were basically, in our age range, 30s, 40s.
Which is
like,
what
late,
Simon Pegg. How old is Simon? Simon Pegg's got to be in his 40s,
yeah,
right?
So yeah, he's exactly. So it's like that right now. So
yeah.
then. Subtract
you
10,
couldn't have younger
their
versions.
College age.
You couldn't have younger versions of the original series crew show up in the show and have them played by the people in the movies. Was my point. It sounds like you agree.
Yeah.
with me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's all the news. That's all the TV news.
That's exciting. That's very exciting.
So are you ready to move on to our quiz?
Yes, I'm excited. I got a text message from Trevor this morning, and he said you're really gonna like your quiz, and so now I'm all sorts of curious as to what it could be.
So in keeping with the Star Trek Discovery news we just finished talking about,
uh-huh.
I'm going to quiz you about Star Trek spin-offs.
Oh boy, I'm so screwed.
The difference here, though, is that these are going to be multiple choice questions.
Ooh. I have a chance.
To give you a bit more of a chance.
And I'm back in. All right. Let's do this.
All right. Question number one.
Yes.
Star Trek Phase 2 was an aborted sequel to the original series that was not going to feature which prominent character? Is it A, DeForest Kelly, or which prominent actor, I should say, which prominent performer?
Uh-huh.
Is it A, DeForest Kelly,
mm-hmm.
B, William Shatner,
uh-huh.
C, Leonard Nimoy,
uh-huh.
or D, William Shatner's hairpiece?
What?
Which of those was not going to appear in Star Trek Phase 2, the aborted sequel series?
Is this a joke?
No. Is this real life?
Is this real life? Are we living this now? I kind of want to say hairpiece because they probably would have changed his hairstyle. But wait, is that true?
No.
Wait, okay. Well, I say DeForest Kelly.
No. Leonard Nimoy was not on board to appear in this sequel series. It was only when Star Wars made it big in movie theaters,
uh-huh.
and then CBS and Paramount were like, sci-fi is big again. Let's make this a movie and not a TV series. And
yeah.
Leonard Nimoy was like, movie, you say? And that's how they got him back to appear in the motion
that's
picture.
Cool.
And then of course he was happy to keep doing more.
Yeah.
Number two.
Uh-huh.
Who was the main character of Star Trek Deep Space Nine? Was it A, Captain Catherine Janeway, B, Captain Benjamin Sisko, C, Captain Jonathan Archer, or D, Captain Antoniel?
You're funny.
Main character of Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Deep Space Nine. The what was the second one you mentioned?
Captain Benjamin Sisko.
I pick him.
That is correct.
Yay! Hooray! I know Janeway was on Voyager, and I just took a guess because Sisko sounded familiar.
All right.
Okay.
Number three.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the main character of Star Trek Voyager? Is it A, Captain Jonathan Archer, B, Captain Catherine Janeway, C, Captain Christine Chapel, or D, Captain Woman Girly Parts?
Captain Janeway.
Correct.
Okay. Yay.
Number four.
Uh-huh.
Who was the main character of Star Trek Enterprise?
Uh-huh.
Is it A, Captain Christine Chapel?
Uh-huh.
B, Captain Miles O'Brien? C, uh-huh. Captain Jonathan Archer? Or D, Captain Sam Beckett?
Is it Mr. Archer?
Mr. Archer.
I don't know. Captain Archer.
Yes, it is Captain Archer.
Awesome. All right. I am...
Do you get the Sam Beckett joke? That was the name of the character that Scott Bakula played on Quantum Leap.
I didn't get that joke because I haven't seen Quantum
Leap. That's all right.
I'm sorry, but I'm sure a lot of sci-fi nerds who did watch both get it.
All right. Number five.
Uh-huh.
Which Next Generation character later joined the cast of Deep Space Nine?
Uh-huh.
Was it A, Worf, B, Riker, C, Data, or D, Tasha Yar's corpse?
Oh! It was Worf.
It was Worf.
Yay.
Very good.
Uh-huh.
All right. What is that? 5 for 6 so far? Or four for... No,
four
out of five.
4 out of 5 so far.
Number six.
Okay.
What region of space
uh-huh.
served as the setting for Voyager? Was it A, the Gamma Quadrant,
mm-hmm.
B, the Delta Quadrant, C, the Beta Quadrant, or D, East St. Louis?
Was it the Gamma Quadrant?
The Gamma Quad. No, it was the Delta Quadrant.
Darn it, it was either Gamma or Delta.
The Gamma Quadrant featured heavily in Deep Space Nine.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Okay.
Number seven.
Uh-huh.
Enterprise featured the first Earth vessel capable of A, going to warp, B, going warp 10, C, going warp 5, or D, going boldly.
Oh, I love option D, but going to warp.
No, going really? Warp 5.
Well, how was I supposed to? Okay. Well, I had a fair shot. 1 in 3, I suppose. Okay.
Number 8.
Uh-huh.
Deep Space Nine took place on a space station positioned nearby A, a wormhole, B, the Klingon border, C, Romulus, or D, a really nice Bennigan's.
Now I'm hungry. Hmm.
dead air is
the
magic.
Yeah, sorry,
radio,
I know,
magic,
right?
For radio.
No, I think it's either the wormhole or it's the border DMZ. I'm gonna say it's the DMZ.
No, it's the wormhole.
Darn it! Ah, crap. Okay.
All right.
Uh-huh.
Number 9.
But the gravitational pull. All right. Go ahead.
Number 9.
Yep.
Jerry Ryan's character on Voyager was named
7 of 9.
A, 5 of 8. B, 7 of 9.
Uh-huh.
C, 5 of 7. Or uh-huh. D, Gertrude.
Oh, that's her nickname, Gertie. She's 7 of 9.
Correct.
Yay.
Last question.
Uh-huh.
Number 10.
Uh-huh.
Enterprise featured a story arc called A, the Temporal Cold War, B, the Dominion War,
oh boy,
C, the Earth-Romulan War, or D, Marvel's Captain America Civil War.
Enterprise was the show that took place that kind of was like the history of the Star Trek universe. So I'm going to say the Romulan Earth War.
Incorrect. It was the Temporal Cold War.
Okay. Well, that one made the least sense. I was like, wait, temporal, like with time, and then Cold War. All right.
Imagine how little sense it would have made if you'd actually watched it.
Oh, boy.
Because that's about as much sense as it made.
Shame on you, writers. Shame on you.
So you got one.
Five.
Five? Oh, were you keeping
five
track?
5 out of 10, I was keeping track.
Were you sticking your fingers out on your hand I can't see in order to keep track of?
Yes.
Yes, that's what I thought you were doing. And that's it for your quiz.
That was a fun quiz, and I thought I was going to do better. I had that upswing and then that whole valley with those last questions where I picked the wrong one. It's kind of how multiple choice works. But hey, I am happy. Thank you, honey. That was a very funny quiz. Okay. Do we have anything else?
Nope, that's it.
Do you want to do the spiel or shall I?
Sure. So if you want to find us, you can go to www.
This is why I do the spiel, everybody.
You can go to smartspodcast.com. You can email... now you're causing me to crack up. You can email us at mailbag@smartspodcast.com. You can find us on Twitter at smartspodcast, or you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/smartspodcast.
Cool. Very nicely done. And I guess I can have a funny sound.
You make a Star Trek-related funny sound.
Okay. That's 5 warps.
That's not the sound it makes.
No? Oh.